turn to Genesis chapter 32. And we're going to be looking at that at the wee moment. I'm just checking to see if Nolene's car is locked. I'm nearly as excited as her. Okay. I'm going to just pray and ask for God's blessing on his word. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you again this evening that as we gather like this, Lord God, we gather with the expectancy, Lord, that you're going to speak to us. And Lord, we praise you that you are here, that you're moving in the power of your Spirit, Lord God, in this place because your people are here. And this is the place, Lord, that you've promised to meet with us and to speak to us. And so help us to hear you tonight, please, in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for your living and active word, and we pray that it would do its work this evening. We pray, Lord, that not only for us who are here gathered, Lord, but listening, but for those who will listen to the podcast, that you would speak to them also, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Nolene, was it locked? Very good. Last week, my title was, Am I Mad to Believe, or Am I Too Scared? Am I Mad to Believe, or Am I Too Scared? And I'm on part two of that this week. And last week I asked about Rachel, that's Jacob's wife. Did she completely trust in the Lord? And I've been questioning, does anyone completely trust in the Lord? Does anybody actually completely trust in the Lord? You see, we can say that we do. We completely trust in you, Jesus. But do we? You see, personally, I think trusting in the Lord is a learning process whereby God permits certain circumstances and situations in our lives to teach us to trust him or to trust him more. Rachel, for example, and I, what I love about these Bible characters is you see the warts and all in them. God doesn't make everybody nice in the Bible. Rachel was brought up in a home where idols, false gods, were worshipped. She was brought up in Syria. And it was her natural environment, her normal surroundings. She grew up with these false gods, part and parcel of family life. And it's interesting that when she packed her belongings to leave Haran in Syria with her husband Jacob, who was returning to Canaan, she actually stole her father's idols and brought them with her. Now, as I said last week, I do not believe, and it's not a question I'm going to ask him when I get to heaven, it's not high on my list, but I don't believe she stole those idols for monetary value. So, was Rachel afraid to let go of the gods that she was used to, the things that she had grown up with? You see, Rachel, just like anybody else, would have to learn to let go of her false gods, her worldly fears and superstitions, and trust in the Lord. And just like Rachel, many people today are too scared to let go of the mindless, futile superstitions or their old ways and learn to trust in the Lord, who, by the way, is completely trustworthy. And so before we look at chapter 32, the few verses that I'm going to read this evening, let me just put the chapter into context, put all of this into context for you this evening. Jacob had gathered his family and all of his possessions, and he was journeying back home to Canaan. Now, 20 years earlier, he had actually fled Canaan after robbing, as he was accused, robbing his brother Esau of his birthright. And at that time, if you remember, Esau, his brother, actually planned to murder Jacob once their father Isaac had died. Such was the hatred that he had for his brother. He was going to kill him. Well, now 20 years has passed and Jacob is returning home. And although he had learned to trust the Lord during his stay in Haran, he was now facing a difficult situation. What if Esau, his brother, was still angry. How many of us know people who bear grudges? I remember standing down there during one of the elections not that long ago, and I was standing, and a man came down who greeted me every Sunday almost in life, greeted me as he went past here. Most people wouldn't see him, it's dead early in the morning. And then I was said, hello, hello, and he greeted me and whatever else. And I stood there this day, and when he came and I had it in my flyer, he says, how the hell do that? He says, I wouldn't take that off you. You burned my garage out 35 years ago. Now, honestly, the man had every right to be angry. But I didn't do it. And I told him, he says, 35 years of bearing that grudge, I did not do it. I was with people who did it, but I did not do it. I said, and you've every right to be angry, but 35 years you're bearing a grudge. 20 years had passed, and Jacob didn't know if Esau, his brother, was still going to kill him. And so Jacob sent messengers ahead of him to tell his brother that he was returning. And of course, the messengers returned saying, Esau's coming to meet you, and he's bringing 400 of his men with him. Well, Jacob panicked, and he divided all that he possessed into two groups or two companies in the hope that if they attack, at least one of the companies, one of the groups, might survive. And then Jacob prayed. Now, let's read what he prayed. It's in verse 9 of 32 of Genesis. Genesis 32, verse 9. Then Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, return to your country and to your family, and I will deal well with you. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you have shown your servant, for I crossed over this Jordan with my staff, and now I have become two companies. Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and attack me and the mother with the children. For you said, I will surely treat you well and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. Bearing grudges is like holding on to false gods. Bearing grudges is like holding up an idol. Bearing grudges for many years obviously has a serious effect upon a person's life. Having prayed, Jacob was still unsure if his brother Esau was coming with these 400 men to kill him. And having prayed, what he did was he sent ahead of him gifts of animals for Esau, charging the servants to tell Esau that they were sent by Jacob. So each time they would come along, there'd be a handful of goats and a handful of cows and whatever else. And he says, when they said, what's this about? And he says, your brother Jacob has sent these to you, Esau. And as he came on down a bit, here was another group and here was another group. All of this he did to appease his brother. And although while in Haran, and I've said this and we saw that from last week because he claims God as the God of his father and grandfather, although while in Haran Jacob had learned to trust the Lord, this was a very different and a potentially dangerous situation he now faced. And he was scared for himself and for his family. And he reminded God that he was the God of his father and his grandfather. What he was saying, God, is you looked after my dad and you looked after my granda. I need you to look after me. You are my God. He reminded God that it was he, God, the God of his father and grandfather, who actually told him to leave Haran and to go back to Canaan. And he also reminded God that he had promised to look after him and his family. You see, Jacob, when you read this, he knew that he didn't deserve mercy. He could even say, I came across this Jordan 20 years ago with nothing but a stick, a staff in my hand, and here I am now, two companies. And that's because God had blessed him. But he still knew that he didn't deserve mercy. But he humbled himself before God, acknowledging that it was God who had blessed him. He spoke honestly with God, which is something that I know it shocks people at times when I tell them how honest I speak to God. But we've got to be honest with God and speak to him. And he said this, "Save me from the hand of my brother Esau, for I fear him and what he might do to me and my family. Remember, you said you would treat me well and make my descendants like the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered." What a simple, short, but absolutely wonderful prayer. Jacob declared, "God is my God. You are my God." He told God that he was walking in obedience to his will. "You are my God, the God of my father and my grandfather. You told me to do this, and I am doing it." He held fast to the promises that God had made him. "You told me that if I claimed you to be my God and walked in your ways, then you would look after me and my family." And he humbly admitted, in the midst of all of this, he admitted, "God, I'm scared. I'm scared. Will you please help me?" You'll have to wait until next week to hear what happened to Jacob. Or if you want, you can read the rest of the story in Genesis 33. See, I believe trusting in the Lord is a learning process whereby God permits certain situations and circumstances in our lives to teach us to trust him, or to trust him more. And as I've said, having learned to trust the Lord during his stay in Haran, because he could claim him as the God of his father and grandfather, Jacob was now facing another difficult and potentially dangerous situation. And although he knew God and experienced God's many, many blessings, yet here we see Jacob afraid for himself and for his family. And we as Christians must realize that that's at times how we're going to feel. We know all of the promises of God toward us, and yet we will still be faced with difficult or dangerous situations that will make us afraid. That does not mean that we do not have faith in God. It does not mean that we are any less Christians. It didn't make Jacob any less in his relationship with God. But he was being honest. "I'm afraid." These different circumstances, however, would be used by God to teach Jacob to trust him more. You see, we've all got a level of trust in God if we're Christians. Obviously we do, because we have trusted in his word about Jesus, that Jesus has died to pay the price for our sin, that we have been received into God's family, adopted into his family, that we have everlasting life, that we're told that we're going to have new resurrection bodies, that we have forgiveness of sins, that we have life everlasting, that we have all of the wonderful things. We trust in God with regard to these things. We have a level of trust. But trusting in God is a learning process. You just don't get to, "I've reached it. I trust God completely." Because in the wee bit that I know about God, you say, "Oh, do you really think so?" Trusting in God is a learning process where God permits certain situations and circumstances into our lives. Now think about this and think about what I'm saying. Are you struggling at the moment with something? God permitted it. Are you faced with a sickness or a disease? Are you in debt up to your eyeball? God permits certain things into our lives to teach us to trust him, or to trust him more. You see, I'm not sure anyone can say, "I trust the Lord completely." In fact, I could go as far as to say and put it on record tonight, I do not believe any Christian on the face of God's planet can say, "I trust God completely." And do you know why? Because God isn't finished with them yet. See, if God said, that's him finished, stamp on the head, no more work to be done, it's never going to happen this side of heaven. So therefore, no Christian can say, I completely trust in the Lord, because the Lord hasn't finished with you yet. He's always wanting us to learn to trust him more. So what relevance does Jacob's life and situation have for us today? Well, we can learn from Jacob what we can do when faced with difficult or dangerous situations. Jacob declared, God is his God. And we need to confess that our hope is in the Lord alone. When we're faced with difficult and dangerous situations, we claim God as our own. You are my God. You are my Lord. My hope, my trust is in you. Jacob told God that he was walking in obedience to his will. We need, therefore, when faced with difficult and dangerous situations, we need to keep to the ways of the Lord. We need to be able to say, you are my God, and I am walking in your ways, and I am faced with enemies coming against me from every side, whether they be sickness, whether they be debt, no matter what they may be, I am being faced with enemies coming against me from all sides, but you are my God, and I am walking in your ways. Jacob then held fast to the promises of God, or the promises that God had made him, and we too need to remind God of his promises to us. You told me that even though my enemies came in like a flood, you would not allow them to come over my head. You told me that I could trust in you. You told me that you would deliver me from all that would come against me. You told me that your grace would be sufficient for all of my needs. And we remind the Lord of his promises. And that all sounds very fluffy and very Christian. But it's real. And Jacob humbly admitted that he was scared and asked for help. And when we're faced with those difficult situations, when we're faced with dangerous situations, when we're faced with those things that seem to be overwhelming us and ready to overwhelm us, be honest and tell God, God, I'm scared. I'm scared. I remember years ago I've told this story where a guy was going to be very, very severely beaten. He had jumped out of his window to get away and all, and hurt himself as he fell to the ground as these boys came in through the door and stuff to get him. And he came to my house and he says, oh, well, you'll have to go to them and speak to him. I said, I don't think so. And they're like, dangerous people. And he said, please, please, just get them to give me 2 more weeks and 2 more weeks. And I remember thinking, I am not going to that person's house. I am not, they'll shoot me. So, but I thought, I can't ignore this. So I went and I got on my knees in my bedroom and I prayed and I said to the Lord, Lord, will you help me, please? I'm really, really scared. I'm scared to go down to this house because I'm scared of what these people might do to me. And the Lord spoke to me from Isaiah and said this, no weapon that is forged shall prevail against you. And I took a hold of that promise and thought, no weapon that is forged, because I thought, well, you know, they can't shoot me, praise God. And I thought, they're going to beat me with baseball bats. And I got down on my knees again, still prayed to the Lord and pleaded with him, please, Lord, I'm really afraid, but I'll take a hold of this promise. And I held on to that promise and I went to that person's door and we were able to get that issue sorted. And I believe that that was God, but I was afraid. My knees were quaking and I pleaded with God for help. And that's, for us, what we learn from Jacob as well. That when faced with difficult, whether that be sicknesses, diseases, whatever it might be that we're faced with, when faced with difficult or dangerous situations, own God as our own. Tell him, but Lord, I'm walking in your ways. Now, if you're not, repent and get into the ways so that you're under the covering. Hold fast to the promises that God has made and be honest with him and tell him, Lord, I'm afraid. Will you help me, please? And you know what? Keep it simple and ask the Lord to teach us to trust him. Am I mad to believe? Or perhaps too scared to believe that God permits certain situations and circumstances in my life to teach me to trust him or to trust him more? Am I mad to believe that? Are you? Am I too scared to trust that God knows what he's doing in my life? Are you? Am I mad to believe or to trust in the Lord? We'd be mad not to. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a wonderful God you are, that you provide for us a full salvation in Jesus Christ, your Son. And we, Lord God, will be called to walk this path to victory and face difficult and dangerous situations. And the enemy will come in, Lord God, to try to fill our hearts with fear and fill us with unbelief. Help us, please, dear Holy Spirit, to own our God as ours. To say, Lord, like the hymn writer, I am yours and you are mine. Help us, Lord, please, to remind you that we love you and that we are walking in obedience to your word, Lord God. Help us to hold fast to your promises. Father, please help us to be honest with you. And when we're scared, to tell you we're scared. And to ask you to please, with your perfect love, cast out that fear. Lord, we love you. And we want to learn to trust you more. So help us, please, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Teach us your ways, O God. Teach us to have faith in you. That we, Lord God, might glorify you as we trust you more and more. And Father, we pray tonight for anyone who's not yet a believer in Jesus, who's not yet a Christian, that you would help them, Almighty God, to see the wonders of your grace and your mercies, Lord God, toward them. And that they, Lord God, would look at the promises that you have made, that whosoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ can be forgiven for all of their sins and can be adopted into your family and have life everlasting. Lord, may they be given the faith to believe, to trust in you and in your word. And even though they might be afraid to let go, Lord God, of the old ways and the futile, mindless superstitions, Lord God, that so many hold on to, give them the grace and the strength to let them go and to learn to trust you and to keep on trusting you. In Jesus' name, amen.